Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Fantastic. I've brought my shopping this morning. There we go. Fantastic. Today, I'm really excited, although if anybody knows me when I speak, I'm always excited to be starting our new series looking at the book of Psalms called God in Every Season. Now, I thought I'd start with a bit of a game, and there are prizes. I might regret this, but before we do that, just, and this will lead us into that, turn to the person next to you and tell them if you've got a favourite psalm. And if so, what that psalm is. If you've never read the book of Psalms, tell them that too. Just turn to the person next to you, tell them about your favourite psalm. Now it's time. Are you ready for the time for prizes? Now, don't be shy. This is the time to show off. Can anybody in English, Cantonese, or any other language recite a psalm from memory? Do we have a microphone? Yeah, Rosie's got a microphone. Would anybody? I've got three people. Here's one at the back. Come forward. Rob's going to come. One more. Come forward. If it's Psalm 119, we're in trouble because we'll be here all day. One more. I've got three prizes and I don't want to go away, well, full-handed. I want to go away empty-handed. Do we have one more? Rob, you're going to sit. Come forward, Rob. You start. I think Poi is trying to press gang somebody to do it into Cantonese. We've got one. The microphone. Go on then, Rob. Rob will start. Here we are, and we'll go round.
Psalm 23.
Ah, there we are. We knew we'd have a Psalm 23. Another Psalm 23. I should have allowed. Go on then, Rob.
I'll probably seize up halfway through.
No, it's all right.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters of rest. He refreshes my soul. He guides me, paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare before me a table full of the most sumptuous of fare. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows, always full.
Surely goodness
and faithfulness will follow me, and love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord and return to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Fantastic. Rob, you get a prize. Take it away. You get a prize. Next one. Brilliant. Here we go. Are we getting Psalm 23 again? But Rob did the very long amplified version, so we can, yeah.
This is all version.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you getting Farsi?
Yes.
Yeah, let's have it in Farsi. And then I think we've got a Cantonese one then to finish. I saw that hand. Go on then. Psalm 23 in Farsi.
خداوند شبان من است. خداوند شبان من است. او مرجع تقلید من است. محتاج به هیچ چیز نخواهم بود. مرا در مرتع‌های سبز می‌خواباند و نزد آب‌های راحت رهبری می‌کند. جان مرا برمی انگیزد به خاطر نام خود مرا هدایت می کند به عدالتش. چون در وادی سایه موت نیز راه روم از بدی نخواهم ترسید، زیرا تو با من هستی و عصا و چوب دستی تو با من است. در برابر حضور دشمنانم سفره‌ای برای من می‌گسترانی و سر مرا به روغن تطهین می‌کنی و کاسه‌ام را لبریز می‌سازی. هر آینه نیکویی و رحمت تو تا ابد بر من است و من در خانه تو ساکن هستم تا ابد الاباد. آمین.
Fantastic. In Cantonese.
Is it okay?
Okay. Cool.
Psalm 23
in three languages.
水边。他使我的灵魂苏醒，为自己的名引导我走义路。我虽行过死荫幽谷，也不怕遭害，因为你与我同在。你的杖、你的竿都安慰我。我在我敌人面前为我摆设筵席。你用油膏了我的头，使我福杯满溢。我一生一世必有恩惠随着我。我且要住在耶和华的殿中，直到永远。阿门。
If you guys would like to come back tonight, my talk will go much better tonight as well. James Kugel said in his book, How to Read the Bible, the book of Psalms is the Bible's book of the soul. In psalm after psalm, the human being turns directly to God, expressing his or her deepest thoughts and fears, asking for help or forgiveness, offering thanks for help already given. In the time left, I want to do two quick things this morning. Firstly, to give us a brief introduction to the book of Psalms, and then to look at Psalm 100. So the book of Psalms is a collection of ancient Israel's poems, praises, petitions, and prayers. It was written by many people over a long period of time, and it was collected together after the period of exile. And in Psalms, we have deep, mostly short prayers and songs, which were the source book of worship for ancient Israel. But the book of Psalms is full of diverse content. Sometimes the author is praising God. Other times, they're screaming at God. Sometimes the author's in the pit of despair. And other times, they're on a peak of praise. Now, we can't reduce the psalm to a single message, but it does have an overall structure. It's not just a random collection of psalms, but it's a coherent book which was collected together and edited over time. It's like a compilation box set of greatest hits. Now, let's see how old people are in the room. Let's have the next slide. Did anybody have a Now album? Now, that's what I call it. Let's see how old you are. Mine was on vinyl first. I reckon it was about Now 8. What was your first Now album?
Now That's What I Call Music.
You had the original. Cap was the original, yeah? There you are. You can have the Now Originals Club, also known as the Oldies Club. So, yeah. Now, the Now album contained the greatest hits of the time. And the Book of Psalms operates a bit like that. But actually, let's bring the analogy up to date and get it a bit more relevant to Psalms. It's a bit like a curated playlist. On your Spotify or your YouTube, do you have a playlist for when you go to the gym or go running or study or work? And the Psalms operate a bit like that. And the Psalms have a clear introduction and a clear conclusion. So let's look first at the introduction. Because Psalms 1 and 2 provide a key for understanding the whole book of Psalms. So Psalm 1 tells us that the way of life God calls us to is to meditate on and live by his instruction. And then Psalm 2 introduces us to God's promised king, his son, who will bring about God's rule and God's reign. So that's the introduction, which is the key to everything that follows. And then the final five songs. Has anybody been watching Glastonbury? At the end of the concert, usually the band comes back on for an encore. And Psalms 146 to 150 is like an encore of praise. The Psalms end in this crescendo of praise to God. And it's a bit like a five-disc box set, because as you read the Psalms, you'll see they're broken down into five books. Now, the keenies amongst you, what else in the Hebrew Scriptures has five books? It's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So it's as if the person who collected together the Psalms is saying, pay attention, this is important. This is going to show you what is the way of life and what God's king looks like. So the book of Psalms has been structured to tell us Israel's history. It starts with the kingship under David, and it goes through the division and defeat which ended up in exile. Then it ends with their return from exile and their new hope under the rule and reign of a future Davidic king that points towards Jesus. And actually, the fact we don't know much about who wrote the individual psalms, and when you read a psalm, you don't get much of the history or the context, is a good thing, because it allows us to use those prayers for ourselves today. Yet we've got to remember they're really old, and we read them through ancient eyes, but we can make them our prayers today. We can become the eye of the Psalms. So when we're singing in worship and we sing a song like I Surrender All, you're not singing about the author, you become the eye. And when we read the Psalms, we become the eye of the Psalms. Now, when we read the Psalms, it's helpful to think of the different types of psalms there are. And you can tell that just by reading them, the sort of mood they evoke, what sort of sense you get from reading it. So there are a couple of types of psalms. Let's put them up. The first one, a praise psalms. That literally does what it says on the tin. A praise psalm is praise. The focus of the praise psalms is God, and they acknowledge the character of God and celebrate his deeds. But in contrast to that, we have lament psalms. They're a plea for God to intervene when things have gone wrong and God seems absent. And do you know what the most common type of psalm is in the book of Psalms? It's the lament. That should tell us something. The book of Psalms encourages us to raise our voice to God in petition and protest whenever injustice arises. And you know what? Sometimes as modern followers of Jesus, we've neglected lament, which is such an important part of healthy spirituality and worship. And then there's Thanksgiving Psalms. They offer gratitude to God for what he has done. And sometimes what starts in lament ends up in thanksgiving. And there are some specific type of psalms. There are royal psalms celebrating God as king, Torah psalms, pilgrimage psalms, and even, very modern, a bit of a mashup psalm, which is a mixture of both. And when we read the psalms, we're reading poetry, and we must remember that. So they convey powerful images in very few words. So they're meant to be read slowly and repeatedly. And actually, a key to understanding is the writers of the Psalms often use something called parallelism. So in two lines, they'll say the same thing in similar ways, and the second line will take the first thought further. Or perhaps they'll say the same thing in opposite ways, and you can see the authors doing that. But the Psalms are meant to be used in our daily lives, both as individuals and as communities. So actually, I've got a challenge. As we go through this series on the Psalms, why don't you commit to read a psalm a day? If you're like me, get a little book of the Psalms, and when you're on the bus going to work, in a lunch hour, perhaps you're on the train, have a go at reading a psalm. But you might want to take it further and perhaps get a notebook and start a Psalms journal that as you read it and you reflect on it and just jot down that your notes and reflections on the psalm you're reading. And then when you get together in your small group, you can share what you've learned. Now we're going to go a bit hardcore. You might want to use the psalms to pray, read them. Use the psalm as a springboard for prayer. So as I've been thinking about Psalm 100, as I've been praying, I've actually used Psalm 100 to shape my prayers. And it's been really cool. And then if you really want to go for it, why don't you follow along with this series and try and memorize the psalm that we're doing that week. So this week, why don't you have a go of committing Psalm 100 to memory. Just before we go into Psalm 100, let's give you some quick resources on the Psalms. You may have seen me giving them away earlier, but the Bible Project have got two fantastic videos on the Psalms. Have a look at that. Psalms for Everyone, there's two volumes by John Goldingay, and each psalm is translated and there's a reflection on there. If you want a really accessible and easy daily reading, this is a fantastic resource. If you want something more devotional, the late great Tim Keller has done a book called My Rock, My Refuge, which is a series of 12 months worth of devotions on the Psalms. And for the Bible nerds amongst you, this book is just brilliant. Psalms for Normal People, a really great introduction if you want to go a bit in depth on the Psalms. One writer said this: the Psalms draw our entire life under the rule of God, where everything may be submitted to the God of the gospel. That's why we've called this series God in Every Season. So let's go on an adventure together and let's look at Psalm 100. If you've got a Bible, open it up and keep it open as we look through Psalm 100, but the text is on the screen. Shout out praises to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with joy. Enter his presence with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures and he is faithful through all generations. Now, let's start with an important point. If you want to write something down, you might want to write this down. This is revolutionary. Psalm 100 comes after Psalms 96 to 99. There you are. Thank you very much. My name's Adam Pipe. Good night. You might be thinking at this point, well, duh, I can count. But context is so important. And Psalms 96 to 99 are all about God reigning as king. The people have been in exile in Babylon, in captivity, and God is calling them back to the time of the Exodus, where he rescued them. And that declaration after the Exodus in Exodus chapter 15, the Lord reigns forever and ever. And in Psalm 100, it's the conclusion to these kingship psalms and calls the whole earth, because God is the God of the whole earth, to give thanks and praise to him. I think it's a bit of a mashup psalm of thanksgiving and praise. So the structure of Psalm 100, what we're going to look at now, is to call us to a response of praise and thanks in the first three verses. Then in the second half of verse 3, it tells us the reason why. Then a common way the Psalms do it, they repeat the cycle. So in verse 4, again, it calls us to praise and thanks. And in verse 5, it tells us the reasons why. So let's start by looking at the response that this psalm calls us to. So verse 1, as we've said, calls the whole earth to shout out praises to God. Some translations say to make a joyful noise to the Lord. John Goldingay in his book says that the Bible assumes that the proper acclamation of God requires noise. Now, there is a special place of worship in my heart. And this week, no, don't mock it. This week, it's celebrated its 25th anniversary. It's a stadium in Cardiff where Wales play rugby. And I took this photo in early 2020. We were probably all giving each other COVID. And that was the time when Wales were actually winning their rugby matches. And I've been in a full Principality stadium with the roof closed. And when Wales score a try, the place erupts in loud, joyful shouts of praise. But sometimes when we're in worship, we can be like cool, hip, laid back. But Psalm 100 is calling us to Principality Stadium kind of worship, what I call a rapturous roar to the victorious King. And then verse 2 calls us to worship the Lord with joy. Your version may translate the word worship as serve the Lord with gladness, because service is worship. In 1646, theologians got together and produced something called the Shorter Westminster Catechism. And they asked, what is the chief end of people? And it said that the chief end of people is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Church, our primary purpose is to worship God and enjoy him forever. And one of the ways we do that is to come into his presence, as verse 2 says, with joyful singing. That's why we start our times together with sung worship to God. Now, Psalm 100 contains two of my most favorite Hebrew words. And in verse 3, we have the first of those. The psalmist calls us to know the Lord is God. Or some version says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. You know, the most basic and fundamental confession of the Christian faith is made up of three words. Jesus is Lord. Today, God is calling us to acknowledge that he is Lord and King of our lives. And that word translated here as acknowledge or know is the Hebrew word yada. And this is an intimate word. In the Bible, it's used for sexual intimacy. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it said, Adam yada Eve, and they gave birth to a son. Psalm 100 is calling us to an intimate relationship with God, the faithful covenant-keeping God. God wants us to know him in an intimate way and have an intimate relation. He wants an intimate relationship with us. Not in the sense that Jesus is my boyfriend, but in the sense of a deep relationship where we know God and are known by him. Do you yada God today? Is your relationship one of intimate communion, or are we just going through the motions? You know, I've got a passion for learning the Bible and theology and knowing about God. But the challenge to me is, do I yada God? And in verse 4, the psalmist repeats the call for us to respond to God, our King. And the psalmist used imagery from the temple, calling us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, to give thanks and praise to God. Now, if I invited you to my house today for a party, and this is just an example, don't all rock up, you would likely bring a gift of thanks. Today, this psalm is calling us to respond to our Savior King by shouting for joy, by worshiping and serving him, by coming before him, by acknowledging him, by knowing him in an intimate way and giving him a gift of thanks. So if that is our response, what are the reasons for our response? Let's go back to the second half of verse 3. It says, he made us, we are his, the sheep of his pasture. God made each one of us. In Psalm 139, it said that God knitted us together in our mother's womb. Today, know that you are not an accident. We've just gone through the book of Ephesians. And one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Ephesians 2, verse 10, which says, you are God's workmanship. The Greek literally translates, you are God's work of art. And he made you and created you with unique talents, gifts, and abilities. You are God's treasured possession. You're the pearl of great price, the one he gave his son for. And the psalmist goes further and says that we are the sheep of his pasture. And throughout the Psalms, it uses the metaphor of God as our shepherd. And we've heard it in English, in Farsi, and Cantonese. And you know, a shepherd is a protector and a provider. And God is our protector and our provider. And it repeats again the reasons for our response in verse 5, which echoes Exodus chapter 34 and God revealing his character to Moses. And finally, the psalmist says, the Lord is good. And you know, we often sing that song, he's a good, good father. But I want to ask us a question today. Do you really believe that God is good? Some of us may have been hurt in the past or been going through things which cause us to question the goodness of God. And today, I think God wants to show you that he is indeed good and he wants the best for you. I was reminded of that conversation between the children and Mr. Beaver in the Narnia book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. That's the line God has for you today. He is good. He is the king, I tell you. And verse 5 goes on, and we come to my favorite Hebrew word of all. It says, his steadfast or loyal love endures forever. The Hebrew word here translated as love is the word hesed. And hesed is one of the most important words in the Old Testament. One rabbi suggests the best English word to translate hesed is loyalty. It's God's covenant loyalty because of his love for his faith for us. Some writers described it like this: the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, one-way love of God. Or when our girls were younger, we bought them that brilliant Jesus storybook Bible, which has that repeated refrain in it: God loves us with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And God's ultimate act of hesed is embodied in Jesus. Jesus came to show us God's hesed and restore the partnership between God and humanity. And the cross is the definitive revelation of God's hesed. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. Let's finish with the final line of Psalm 100. And he is faithful through all generations. Finally, the psalmist said that God's faithfulness continues through all generations. For the psalmist, the past informs the present and the future. God's love is measured by what God has done. Joshua James said, Yahweh's love is a love that does. God has been demonstrably good to us. As this psalm has taught us, the Lord is good. He made us. We're his treasured possession. He protects and provides for us. He loves us and he's loyal and steadfast no matter what we do. He is faithful forever. And today the psalm is calling us to respond to him in joyful, exuberant, principality stadium shouts of worship and service to him, to come into his presence with praise and thanks. I'm going to close by asking us to stand, and I'm going to read this psalm to us again, and I want you to hear it as God's invitation to you afresh today. Shout out praises to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with joy. Enter his presence with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks, praise his name. For the Lord is good. His loyal love endures and he is faithful through all generations. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.